This is Publishing Talks, a podcast about the book industry. I'm talking today to Carl Lennertz. He's the executive director of World Book Night US. And I thought it would be really interesting to find out more about World Book Night, which is scheduled for April 23rd, 2012. As we are talking now, it's January, middle of January, so we're not really that far away. Hi, Carl. How are you?
Very well, and acutely aware of how close it is.
I'm sure it weighs on your mind at all times. Maybe before we talk about World Book Night, I mean, I think there are a lot of people listening who know your name and who, you know, you've been in the book business a long time, but maybe you could just talk briefly about your background and how you came to being the executive director of World Book Night US.
Well, long story short, I started at Walden Bookstore in 1976 as a stock clerk, and just kind of, I like to joke, I fell my way upward. I was actually hired because I knew the alphabet.
That helps in a
and
bookstore.
And then I became store manager. Then I went to Macy's in New York, and Brenda Marsh, who's now at Barnes & Noble, was a rep, and she got me a job at Random House out in the Midwest, which I did for a few years. And so I was at Random House in various jobs for about 16 years, finishing up as the VP of marketing for Knopf, Pantheon, and Vintage. And did that for 16 years, and it was amazing, obviously, to be with that company and those books. And I sort of, in a crazy moment, left to be the associate publisher of Little Brown for a year. And then a thing called BookSense started up. Remember that? That's when you and I first met, David.
Yes, I remember that.
BookSense was starting up in the late 90s, the independent marketing campaign. So I went to do that for four. Loved that. Came back to HarperCollins to work 8 years, which I loved, back in sales and marketing. But I never forgot that 4 years of BookSense, that not-profit, kind of one big campaign thing, always, I didn't think I could do it. I thought I was a book marketing guy, just working on books. That's what I knew. That's what I do. But the notion of one big campaign, I really enjoyed. And when World Book Night took place in the UK last year, I took note. Didn't think much more of it. And then there was a meeting in New York in July, where talk of it was going to come to the U.S., and I went looking for the job. It just seemed at my age and experience, I wanted one more shot at a big campaign.
Well, it is a big, big campaign.
You keep reminding me.
I know. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but
no, it's okay,
I know
it's okay.
What you've done is you've chosen. Now, this is happening all around the world, so each country who participates will do their own. But in the United States, you're choosing 30 different titles that you're going to distribute 40,000 copies of.
Yep.
That's a pretty massive undertaking in and of itself. But why don't you talk a little bit about how this began and where it has been before it came to the United States?
Well, long story short, which I will try to do, April 23rd is World Book Day, according to UNESCO. It's also in Catalan region of Spain. It's St. George's Day, and they give a book and a flower. And that's always been out there as, you know, a nice thing called World Book Day. And in the UK, World Book Day is a children's event. And a fellow named Jamie Bing, the publisher of Canongate in Scotland, was at a meeting, and he's told me the story several times about he was a little bit hungover and came to this meeting about 2 years ago with booksellers talking about how to increase business. And he said, you know what? World Book Day for kids is great. Let's have an adult version of World Book Night and give away, you know, trade paperbacks of adult books. And he just made it happen. He hired somebody at a Foyles bookstore. Her name is Julia Kingsford. And they pulled this off in about 6 months' time in England last March. And so, you know, there's already been one little, you know, World Book Night is taking place in four countries, UK, Ireland, the US, and Germany just signed up literally on Monday, by the way. Well, we've talked to Canada, UK, Australia, New Zealand, you know, we hope Italy, France. David, in 10 years, I hope this really is international. It's World Book Night is mostly aspirational versus what it really is now, but it's a start.
Well, the World Series is not the whole world, so
well,
why can't you?
At least, well, that is the arrogance of the Americans. At least this wasn't our, this came from the UK. And, you know, it's their brand. We license it. We actually pay a licensing fee to bring the world. They do the logo. And, you know, I bought a website. I got a blueprint. I have my colleague Julia's ear all the time by Skype. I have a funny story about the day we launched the website, by the way, where I had a break into my own office.
Where is your office?
I work out of the AAP at 5th and 15th.
Oh,
They gave
okay.
me an office there, which is great,
that
and a
is
laptop.
great. Yeah.
And so, you know, in the UK, it's obviously a smaller country, and the BBC was their major sponsor. Coming here, and Julie and I laugh about this, I say, you have 33 times the culture that we do. We have 33 times the geography. The shipping bill alone for these boxes,
right,
which I'll get to in a moment,
right,
is $250,000. It's almost as big as the initial back of the envelope. It's huge, and no one, we expected something like that. And we'll get UPS to pay for that, and we're still talking to UPS, and they've been great partners. Ingram will do all the shipping, but things have kept cropping up of a surprising nature. Cartons cost money. Stickers. You know, if we knew then what we know now, we would have waited another year, but we just dove in. They hired me, gave me a laptop, and we just dove in. And I knew I've never heard of the scenting where people who hear about this just love it. The publishers came in with some seed money. Barnes & Noble, American Booksellers came in, American Library Association. Everybody has jumped in feet first with either money or volunteer staff or technological support or social media support. It's just been one, I feel like Mickey Rooney, let's put on a play. It's just one big great idea. And again, the founding principle is not to just give away books in a street corner to people who might be already readers. It's to find light or non-readers.
So what you're asking, now you're trying to enlist individual readers to actually do this. In other words, let's say I hear about this and I think to myself, I want to participate. So I contact you and basically you're going to tell me, find 20 people who
yes.
fit that qualification, that are, you know, people you know who don't read enough, or people who you know who don't read at all, and try to get them to read more by giving them a book that you love
yep.
or that somebody loves, so that, you know, you're going to essentially try to turn them into a real reader.
Yes, there are many different mantras we have, you know, depending who we're talking to. These are printed books, not e-books. We community, person to person. We want to sign people up. You know, you could hire people to give out books on the street, like to give out, you know, cigarettes and water. We wanted people in the community to go somewhere. And it's funny, early on we had some concerns. Well, how do you know who's a light or non-reader? And I said, kind of jokingly, if they're reading, don't give them a book. You know, if they got the iPad, walk by. And I'm jumping ahead a bit. You know, we pick the books. We launched the website. People apply to be a giver. And they have to write like a short 100-word essay where they want to do it. And I looked at the first of them back over the holidays, and I almost didn't want to look because I thought it was going to be people be confused. Where do I – because internally we thought – I mean, I had a list of ideas in all my press releases and all my internal publishing memos. I said this is, you know, diners to hospitals – schools to nursing homes, social service places to public fund places. And that's all I said. I don't want to create a checklist with something, oh, I'll go to a school. They had to write in their own words. And David, I got to tell you, this sounds corny. I'm concerned about the direction our country is going with politics and anger and just loud discourse. The outpouring of passion and creativity and genuine thoughtfulness. I've read 5,000 so far. I'm not even through the whole stack. The public got this right away. That's when I knew we were good. They understood completely, and I've been keeping a whole list. I mean, David, it's been amazing. It runs from VA hospitals to cancer waiting rooms to food pantries, women's shelters, Native American reservations, prisons, military bases, and diners, the Staten Island Ferry, the San Francisco BART, Farmers Market in L.A., a lot of schools. The people who hear about this, either from USA Today or the big social media campaign, they get right away where to take their 20 bucks. And that's been a revelation to me, that message got through so easily. It's been incredible.
So what do you think, you know, I was thinking about whether libraries would be actually the good place or not, because you sort of figure, well, if people go to the library, they're already readers. So
yeah, we don't want that. The rule is no bookstores or libraries.
Right.
We want bookstore workers, booksellers, and librarians to sign up.
Right, but to get outside of the building wherever they work and to try to go someplace else. So now I have another. Go ahead.
The one exception we might make, and librarians who have applied have said, I work in a library and I get your mission. I will take my books over to the computer area that might tend to be an older resident who's not a reader.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
I said, that's fine.
Right, they know their community, so you would think they're going to know where they can find people. Well,
and the last little twist is that, you know, once you apply to be a book giver, and I say, yes, your application is valid, you have a good reason, we don't ship the books to people's homes. We ship them to their nearest bookstore or library to go in and pick them up. Because we just want to close that loop of, you know, community. We want, say, you know, Tattered Cover has 50 people who have been book givers. We want them to come in, meet the Tattered Cover staff. They could be regular customers. They could be new customers. We're going to ask Tattered Cover or the stores to hold a World Book Night party a week ahead of time. Come in, get your box, tell us where you're going. Ask somebody, you know, can we get a news crew to follow you when you go to the nursing home? My favorite one so far is a Little League game, which is great, you know, to other moms at Little League games.
That is a good idea.
We want it. It's community. It's physical books, physical places, and then you go out that day, and we even want people to come back to the store or library a week later and share their experiences.
I like that part. I think that's really a good thing, because just going off and giving away books, you lose the ability to share your experiences. No, I think that's an important component. Maybe you'll even end up with people meeting together and deciding that they want to do something like this on an ongoing basis, because there are, you know, think about this, that everybody who's a reader has extra books in their homes.
Yep.
They're either books you read and, you know, you don't need to hold on to every book, or they're books that you bought and you never did get around to reading them.
Yeah.
And so in order to make room for your new book addiction, you have to get rid of books. And I've thought about that a lot, you know, whether in fact, it was an impediment to the growth of the book industry, ultimately, is that we've had so many people convinced to buy so many books that they've never read, that ultimately, you know, there really is a limit to how many books people are willing to buy anymore. But clearly, it's almost like, you know, think about when the car business first began, or when the car industry was early, they had a lot of trouble figuring out how to get people to buy more cars, and somebody came up with the idea of the trade-in. And this might be good for the book business, you know, to get people who are readers to give away lots and lots of their books.
No, I think it's a start. World Book Night's one day.
Right.
We want it to be annual, but I would like it to be an ongoing, your idea is wonderful, an ongoing sentiment of doing something to pass reading. Yeah, I realize, David, that your listeners might not be completely aware, since, you know, I live this every day, so sometimes I forget the obvious. These are specially printed, not for resale, non-barcoded, different cover, royalty-free editions.
Got it. No, I was going to ask you to talk about that, because
we're not flooding the market with printed books that might end up on eBay or traded into used.
Well, they may end up in eBay. I think that's okay. You know, I don't think eBay is a bad thing for, you know, the secondary market is not the
enemy.
Well,
it's a bad thing if they're a finished book that the publisher loses the sale on. I don't want that.
This is true. Now, but I do think that now you've gotten 5,000 applications so far.
That's all that I've read. No,
you've gotten more than you have more.
Yeah.
How many have you had so far?
I'm not going to. Not enough.
How many people do you want to have giving out books altogether?
It's a floating goal. I'm going to let the sign. We have the deadline is February 1, because I need 2 months. We have to approve the givers, read the applications, let them know, have them agreed back that they want to do it,
right,
get their name on a label, so Ingram's going to do all the shipping. I need 2 months of time to get the orders processed to the bookstore.
Yeah, you do.
And then do other marketing. So at the end of the day, I might extend it. On February 1, I'm going to make a decision. Even right now, the first 5,000 are my babies. They're the first 5,000 that came in after the USA Today story ran in December. And I feel like these people, I'm covered now geographically. That's my other concern, David. I didn't know in the first 5,000 was I covered in the country. And by the way, I read all the applications on a big Excel file. So I was able to resort by state. We're covered in every state, big city, small town, we're covered in that respect. I'll probably go over quality over quantity, and not worry about that so much. And in the last month, I've had people come forward, you mentioned before, other ways to do this over the course of the year. Even on that night, I have five cities who people, they've come to me and said, we'll take 5,000 copies in bulk and bring the people to someplace for you and send them out.
Right. I was going to ask you, actually, if you had thought of, and you obviously have, other versions of ways to give away books that, where maybe a couple of people could work together, or, somebody might go to another community and meet somebody else, and they could combine their 20 books into 40 or 60 so that they could have a bigger impact wherever they are. And maybe, as you said, cities or even organizations could get together. You could probably, if somebody was willing to put it together, you could have, like a book reading party on, in a public place where people could come and people would give them a book.
Yep, I like to say it was my idea, David. It wasn't. It's the name of Scott Lubick, who was the former head of BISG, now living in Austin, called me back in October and said, hey, I had this idea. I'll work with book people in Austin, and we'll do something bigger. And I said, Scott, I'm new at this. I got to let me play out the individual donor thing, which is it will be 4/5 of the givers will be individual donors. But I like what you're saying. Come back when you talk to Steve, the owner. And then somebody in L.A. called, and somebody in Portland called, and somebody in Houston called with variations of this sort of thing. And again, I'm worried about the notion of World Book Night events in terms of that word meaning getting together to celebrate the book. That's a great mission. That's not my mission, because that's for readers. A big World Book Night event is for people who are readers already. I still want to stick mainly to the individual going out with their 20, but if those are organized in groups of 50 or 100, or even we have one case of 1,000, they gather somewhere, sign a pledge to adhere to our mission of, giving them to people individually, not just leaving them in a box on the doorstep of the library.
Right.
Then we'll send, that's great. Great media coverage. I don't have a budget for media. I envision 50 local media stories on that day about people. I hope that a news crew follows, one person to a VA hospital and follows this group of 10 going in a van to a school. So we're going to, this first year's learning. It's going to be, it's pretty great. It's all volunteer and me. Another part of this, David, everybody has come together in, there's always the unintended consequences. All the publishers working together on this, the ABA and Barnes & Noble, the ALA, the agents, love this. We've emailed all the authors. The AAP just emailed every member of the AAP, publisher large and small. In fact, I just saw the first tweet from Avery House saying, sign up to be a book giver. I want booksellers, librarians, authors, and publishing employees to be about 1/5 of the group. Because I think who can sell a book better than someone like that? And the more they're engaged, the more the store pickup process will go well. If 10 people at a bookstore are involved, there's more chance the media will get that. More is better. More synergy in the store is always better.
Yeah, that sounds right. Well, I'll sign up. So you've gotten one additional person by doing this interview. So, and I have an idea that I'm going to pitch you on how to multiply the value of it. But I'll do it off air in case the idea is completely nuts.
All right.
But no, I think it's really good. So now the list of 30 books, which I have in front of me, is pretty interesting. And a couple questions about that.
Yep.
One, aside from how the dynamic of how you chose, which was an almost impossible task, but are the publishers whose books are on the list printing these editions themselves, or is that a whole other process?
David, I'm in a hotel room looking in the mirror, and that's the whole right side of my head, gray hair, was that part of it. So two-part question, choosing the books and who's printing them. A committee of 7 independents, 4 Barnes & Noble buyers, 5 librarians chose the books. We actually, in the UK, they started from scratch with nominations They both did like an award process. I said, this isn't like an award. We have to read them the year of submissions. We knew these were going to be backlist and trade paperback. We knew these books that are, you know, generally popular either for commercial or literary reasons. So I actually had five interns that I work with in the class go online, and we pulled in on Excel every 10 years worth of Barnes & Noble Discover picks, IndieBound Summer Reading Group picks, Goodreads Top 100, ALA Notables, National Book Awards, Pulitzer Prize winners, a sales report from above the tree line, and I threw onto a spreadsheet about 3,000 lines long any book that showed up anywhere in the last 10 years as being a book that people acknowledge to be good. And by the way, the top 100 mystery writers picks of the year, we also wanted some genre fiction in there. And any book that showed up three times in three different lists got a check mark, resorted, and it was like one of the few smooth movements of this whole 5 months. 150 titles met the criteria of being on three lists. So it could be a Discover pick. I also went to bookreporter.com and their reading group guides top list. That 150 went to the committee. They voted in their top 25, tabulated, point value, resorted. They did another vote, and we got it down to 50. And at that point, I had to work. It was then up to me to get a fiction tends to run heavy with books people love to talk about. And that's, you know, that's life. That's all good. We wanted nonfiction. I wanted at least three YAs or middle readers. I wanted a poetry book. I wanted some small press books. I wanted at least three mysteries, one sci-fi. We wanted a gender balance. One of my board members asked for a geographical balance, and I said, I'll try, but, and it worked out, actually, as it turns out. So, backing a bit, publishers put in basic money to start the project. A committee of four people, of production people at Random House, Simon, Hachette, and Penguin, have given their time to call every printer and paper mill in the country to get donations. So the goal was everything donated. The paper, the printing, the ink, the glue, the cartons, the shipping, and whatever we couldn't get donated, at least at cost. And then we get them all printed and shipped, tally up the bill, and then the publishers would split the remaining costs. And so far, you know, the budget is not looking great right now. It's been but we're going to launch. We can launch and just maybe have the publishers pay a bit more down the road. But it's books from 14 houses, Algonquin, Beacon, Candlewick. You'll see the list online. But we had to come down to, we made a philosophical decision of mostly living authors. We wanted authors who could promote. In fact, 29 of the 30 are living. It wasn't a criteria, but it was one of the criteria. Wanted one book in Spanish, and the Juno Diaz, we have an English and in Spanish. We have three mysteries, Grafton, Connolly, and two, I think, and then Stephen King's The Stand. Literary, commercial, fiction, nonfiction. So, David, at the last moment, the mandate was kind of 25 titles. It's a nice round number. It's what the UK went with. And we couldn't get it down to 25. We kept coming down to 30 to meet all our needs of genre, gender, ethnic, geographical, publisher balance. And we said, well, why is 25 the golden number? Let's go with 30. It's America. We have 31 because of the Spanish, you know, the Juno Diaz in English and Spanish.
Right. Well, I think it's a good list. I mean, it's so hard to imagine picking a list like this. So I think your process sounds really interesting, and I think the goal clearly is to pick books that people will like. You're looking to convert people to readers, so you want them to find something that they get excited about.
Well, there were two audiences, actually. I was actually more concerned with getting the book giver fired up. There's no sense, you know, having a list of book givers go, well, those are all fine, but, you know, there's nothing. These are books people love, because you want the interaction to be in the nursing home, at the military base, at the food pantry, at the mall, at the diner, on the Staten Island Ferry. You know, I love Brief Wonderful Life, Oscar Wilde. I hope that you'll read it. You know, it changes the dynamic of that one-to-one conversation versus, oh, I got a box of 20 books from the publisher, hope you like it.
Right, you know you have to be excited about it if you're
Yeah,
going
we wanted them to love it. You know, the book is just a little highbrow. You know, people might say, you know, a person sitting in a nursing home or a military base or, you know, even in school, Juno Diaz, it's a rough book. I'm reading it now. It's not easy. But, you know, we aimed high, and yet we still have Hunger Games, The Stand. Stephen King's been a big supporter of this program here in the UK. We wanted something for everybody. The book givers we fired up, a publisher spread, you know, The Kindred by Octavia Butler was the last book in, and I was thrilled because it was Beacon Press. I love Tom Halleck. She's our one deceased author, Octavia Butler. David, do you know the book Kindred?
I haven't read it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's the quietest 500,000 copies sold in the history of publishing. It sold 500,000 copies. And everybody, I'm the same way. I kind of heard of it, but never really knew. It's an African-American feminist time travel classic. And it's my favorite, different pick in the whole group. So we ended up with five YAs. So we spread the cost. With 30 books, we're printing fewer of each. It spread brought the cost down a bit. The book givers, along with their essay, pick a first, second, and third choice. They might not all get the one they want, but no one said so far that they couldn't find three books in the match. And we're probably a little fiction heavy. You know, next year, you know, maybe we should go with a Steinbeck or even a Jane Austen. We'll see how this year goes. The authors had agreed to waive royalties, which they all did. Otherwise, we definitely could not afford this.
Yeah, I would imagine that would. Yeah. That's a big deal.
And then lastly, I hired a full-time production person yesterday before I left for where I am now, which is in a witness protection program. the gang of my group of four, the four production people from Random, Simon, Harper, Shet, and the Penguin, have worked so hard to get the paper donations. We came down to 12 vendors, so we have to move all the paper rolls around the Northeast to different binderies to get them done. And I finally said, I'll hire somebody for a month to traffic it. So I hired a woman who's just going to traffic it, you know, paperweight, PPI, spine. You know, I said, please, my head will explode. You just get these trucked to where they have to be to get printed in time a month from now, get them all to Ingham, Fort Wayne, and I'll take it from there. And she's been great. They've been working on it all week getting and we've actually spent 2 months on this in terms of trim sizes, paperweights, the jacket design. These books have a special jacket. You know, if the book, we're putting them all on the same thickness of paper. So a book may have had a thinner paper in its regular edition. If it goes thicker, the spine changes. So we've gone through every sort of variation of, we have 22 different trim sizes. Three of these are in the UK, they're all their B-size format. They all look beautiful as a library. We're going to have 22 different sizes. It's America, man. three are in mass market. Bloodwork. Ender's Game by Orson Scott Card was the science fiction book that made it. I wanted Dune, but the committee wanted Ender's Game, which I actually also love also. because of Winn-Dixie by Kate DeCamillo is one of my favorite picks. So the publishers were in. You know, they're all donating staff time, all their online marketing people. Remember I said, David, I'd answer in short. Answers that went out the window, didn't it?
That's all right.
Well, you're all right? Yeah, you
no,
with me?
No, we're doing good. But let me ask you, I want to get to one specific thing. It's very important. Tell people how they can contact you. Give your website address. I will obviously, when I post this, I will write that down and it'll be on the entry. But I think it would be good for people to hear. How do they contact you? How can they participate? What do you want them to do?
As my daughter says, easy peasy.
Right.
Worldbooknight.org.
Okay. And how about email? Can they email you?
Nope.
Okay, just go through the website.
No, I actually love email. I was advised by Julia in the UK. We have a mailbox, otherwise I'd get deluged.
Right, right.
I have a friend of mine from the business on her own time going through the mailbox. It's April 23 at worldbooknight.org. Isn't that clever? Well, we can handle the mail. We get about 100 queries a day, and we have FAQs on the site. The website is a template from the UK. In fact, UK has almost an identical site. We have different wording, different language. I wanted different rules and regulations. There's an application form on the site. You have to, it's an easy site to manage, but I want you to work it a bit. I don't want people to just go, oh, click, I'll be a giver. I want you to think about this. And so far, people have.
No, I think that's good. Yeah, you do need people to be, they have to make a commitment. They can't
Well, yeah,
just.
read the mission, look at the titles, think about it. They got to write a 100-word essay, and 100-word essay, 100 words about why they're going to do it. And I've been just blown away by the generosity of these people. It really has made it all worthwhile.
Well, it's a great project. I think you are going to have a lot of fun, even though it's going to be very stressful, and you probably have more gray hair by the time you're done.
Yep.
But my guess is you're going to have more people coming to you with really cool ideas after the first one, and there'll be a lot of different ideas and ways for you to expand the reach. So I wish you a lot of luck with this. It seems like a really, really cool idea.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you offering this venue to talk about it. It's been a labor of love by a lot of people. I have, people in publishing, online marketing people, publicists, the authors have given their time, production people. The NYU graduate class of publishing has done all the social media. People like yourself have offered to talk to me. Carol Fitzgerald, the book reporter.com, had one of her people contact 25 book bloggers for me. Everybody, Shuffleware, everybody, Goodreads, they've all done email blasts and Twitters. Twitter's been, Neil Gaiman tweeted the 1.7 million followers. Other authors are tweeting about the books, even though theirs weren't picked. It's been that kind of generosity of spirit. My publishing house's book or not, author chosen or not, let's just do this. It's really been great.
Oh, that sounds terrific.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate it. It's good talking to you, Carl. This has been Publishing Talks, a podcast about the book industry. I've been talking to Carl Lennertz about World Book Night. He's at worldbooknight.org, and I recommend highly going to the website.
And David, you know what? Considering your audience and the level of interest, my email is carl@worldbooknight.org with a C. Carl.
Well,
You know, why
thanks.
not?
All right.
Why
Well,
not?
we'll
It's
see.
fine.
Maybe you'll find out from this how many people really
There
listen
you
to
go.
this. You might
Yeah.
only get one.
No, we'll get more than that. Thank you,
All
sir.
right, Carl. Thanks.